This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Something's Brewing, your Texas Longhorn football recruiting podcast here on the Yak. I'm your host, Jason Sukumel, back for a, what's kind of going to be just a scatter shooting podcast, if you will. And I don't know, for those of you who are loyal listeners, if you remember last year, I did kind of a Where's Sukumel podcast when I was recording from my daughter's lacrosse practice. Well, I'm back at it again, man. We're kind of like the rest of the world, getting back into some sense of normalcy. So my youngest daughter is actually a gymnastics fanatic, and she just started coming back to gymnastics 3 weeks ago. This is her third week, so I guess, 2 weeks ago, technically. But after a five-month hiatus. So I've dropped her off. I'm at lovely Acrotex Gymnastics in Georgetown, sitting in my car in the parking lot. I've got my laptop. I've got my microphone. I've got my bottle of water if I need it. Technology's a wonderful thing, man. I don't know what I would do without it, because I have enough hard enough time getting these podcasts recorded without having technology at my disposal. And now I can do it while I'm sitting in the parking lot while my daughter does a 2-hour gymnastics class, and I'll knock out this podcast and I'll get a head start on my worm. It's funny, you know, just kind of a little pull the curtain back. My wife and I kind of like, not argue, but like, hey, I'll take her. And no, I'll take her. It's, you know, most parents are probably like, please, you take her. But my wife likes to come watch her, which is nice. And I do too. But 2 hours is a long time to be sitting in a plastic chair with a mask on. But I swear I'm way more productive when I go to my daughter's gymnastics practices or lacrosse practices, because other than sneaking a peek at them at practice, there aren't any distractions like there are when I'm at home. You got television and, you know, you're just surfing the board or going to the refrigerator, or kids are popping in, or wife's asking you to do honeydews or whatever. There's none of that when I come to gymnastics. So my wife was like, well, I kind of want to go watch her. I was like, you keep your ass home. I'm taking her. I got a lot of work to do tonight. So here I am sitting in my car, getting weird looks from all the people walking by, talking to myself with a big microphone in front of my face. Going to record a podcast. So let's get down to it, man. So the big news the past couple weeks, one of the big news developments is running back LJ Johnson, the Rivals 100 running back out of Cy Fair, released a top four. And I think this was last week when that happened. Forgive me, I'm in my car, as I said, so I don't have the most detailed notes in front of me. But his top four was Texas, as expected, Texas A&M, LSU, and Oklahoma was the fourth school. Thought maybe Alabama or Georgia may creep in there, but it's four regional schools, so got an interesting little battle shaping up there. You know, and LJ is an interesting cat, because we've talked about him the last couple podcasts, probably, you know, about 6 weeks ago, word kind of started to trickle out that Texas was maybe surging in that recruitment. And sure enough, you know, I check with some sources and they say, yes, Texas has some confidence in that one. And there was even talk, of course, it makes its way over to our Orange Bloods message board, but I guess it was being reported that, hey, he was going to commit 6 weeks ago. And then it was always going to commit end of August, always going to commit first week of September. And, you know, and I had never heard that, thankfully. So, I mean, not thankfully, but thankfully I didn't put it out there. But I just said, hey, you know, I have not heard that. I've heard Texas is in a really good spot. If he commits, if he goes public and makes an announcement, I feel confident it will be Texas, but I've never been able to pin down the when with LJ Johnson. Well, instead of committing, he goes ahead and releases that top four. And, you know, I think this one, for all intents and purposes, is really, I would say maybe a three-team race, but really probably a two-team race. I don't think Oklahoma is going to be a big factor in this one. I don't think LSU is going to be a big factor. I don't think Oklahoma is much of a factor at all. I don't think LSU is a big factor. I think it's going to come down to Texas and Texas A&M. And I think Texas holds the upper hand there. You know, the sooner he can go public or, you know, just get his decision out of the way, obviously the better off you're going to feel if you're Texas. But, you know, what you hope happens if you're a Texas fan, and you probably are if you're listening to this, you better be, LJ's going to watch a couple games. He's going to watch Texas this Saturday and then watch them in a couple weeks against Texas Tech. And he's going to see a fast-paced offense that's running the ball well, and they're, you know, using their backs in a kind of diversified manner and letting them run between the tackles but getting them the ball in the passing game and different things that kind of suit his skill set. And obviously you want the offense to perform well. I think if LJ Johnson sees what he needs to see from this Texas offense in the first couple games, I think we could see an early decision. And is it possible he waits until October or November or even December? It's possible. You know, he's always said, hey, he wants to take his time and take his visits. But, you know, the likelihood of official visits happening seem to be going down by the day. So, I mean, he may change those plans and he may say, hey, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and commit without taking some official visits. But, you know, let's see where this thing goes in the next couple weeks. The good news is Texas is in the top four. I think Texas is the team to beat. And I think, last I heard, I think the NCAA is going to vote, I think it's 1 week from today, as I record this on Wednesday, whether or not they're going to extend that dead period past the end of September. Excuse me. If they do, they likely say, okay, let's push it back till the end of October. Man, then you're really on a tight window for these 2021s to take official visits. So if they do that, man, you got to wonder if guys like LJ Johnson and some other ones that wanted to take visits, Shamar Turner and Savion Byrd, maybe they just say, you know what, to hell with it. I'm just going to go ahead and commit. And, you know, and if they do let them take visits, maybe they could take them in November or something if things open up. But, you know, it's not a bad strategy at this point. If you kind of know where you want to go, just lock your spot up. So we'll see what happens with LJ. I like Texas's position there. Like it quite a bit, as a matter of fact. They just got to hold on, you know, and kind of ride out the storm, so to speak. Because, you know, A&M's going to throw everything they have at him, and Texas just needs to ride that out. So that was a big development from last week. Maybe, was it 2 weeks ago? I'm losing my mind already. Another big development is Jack Lehrer, the offensive lineman from Highland Park. He made his way to Austin 2 weekends ago. I talked to Jack. It was, I guess, the Sunday after, and he said, you know, he came down with his parents. He did kind of one of these self-guided tours. He kind of had a handbook that Texas had given him about things to see, but he really walked the campus and saw the academic facilities or you know, buildings, and just kind of got immersed in the campus in a way he really hadn't before. He went and ate some barbecue. He hung out with Paxton Anderson, his former teammate at Highland Park. He hung out with Prince Dorba, his former teammate at Highland Park. So, you know, when I talked to Jack, he said, hey, I want to decide pretty soon. Didn't have a firm date, but wanted to decide pretty soon. He's pretty open. I mean, it was Texas. It was SMU. It was Northwestern. It was Southern Cal. It was Stanford, Vanderbilt. I mean, the high academic institutions are heavily involved here. Talking to people this week, I think what I'm hearing, it's going to come down to either Texas, Stanford, or maybe USC. I think USC is probably running third in this one. As I record this, I'm not sure that Jack Lehrer has made up his mind, though. I haven't heard anything that he has. I don't believe he's told coaches yet. I think it's going to be Texas and Stanford in a really close race down the stretch. I keep favoring Texas, and maybe I'm wrong on this, man. I mean, you can never discount Stanford when it comes to high academic kids. For whatever reason, offensive linemen seem to really like Stanford. But, man, this one to me is just one that Texas has to win. He's from Highland Park. He's got, I mentioned, two teammates who are enrolled or are part of the football team. He's got, according to him, he told me he's probably got 20 other friends that'll be down at UT and in the McCombs School of Business. I get it. Stanford's a great academic institution. But listen, UT's no slouch, and if you want to study business, that McCombs School is about as good as anywhere in the country. So you got the McCombs School. His dad went to the McCombs School. This is a guy who grew up a Texas fan. Proximity. I mean, everything about this should point to Texas, other than the fact that they got in a little bit late. And you just got to say, Stanford is just Stanford. I get it. If you take out the fact that he grew up a Texas fan and he didn't want to study business, then I can understand the Stanford pick. But man, this is one that Texas needs to close on. But as I record this, it's Wednesday night. you know, I heard he may decide by Friday. Now, if he's that torn between the two, it could get pushed back, but there's a possibility. What I've kind of heard through the grapevine is that Jack Lehrer could decide by this Friday. So we'll be monitoring that closely. That's a big development. You know, I don't say big development like he's an LJ Johnson, that he's a top 100, you know, Rivals 100 type prospect, but he is a guy that Texas needs to land. They have got to get some more bodies in this offensive line class. They have two commitments right now, and I don't have the time to go down the list of guys that they've missed on. So they've got to close the deal on a guy like Jack Lehrer. Interestingly, they did put out another offer this week to another offensive lineman, another offensive tackle. It went to Jacoby Jackson out of Mansfield Summit, a new name that I have not talked about on this podcast. And the reason why, he's been committed to TCU for a long time. Well, he decommitted from TCU last week, and it was on Monday of this week. Texas puts an offer on the table. Big kid out of, like I said, out of Mansfield Summit, 6'6", 315-ish. You know, anytime TCU offers a kid, Baylor's after him. Those are two programs that historically are really good with their evaluations, including offensive line evaluations. I take notice. I watched this film. You know, I'm not sure. I think he's got some potential there, but I think he needs, you know, Alex Dunlap mentioned this on our board. Alex is kind of our offensive line guru, if you will. You know, he's got the potential. Looks like he needs to be coached up a little bit and fine-tune some things. It's interesting. He shows good footwork to me, to my novice offensive line eyes. He shows good footwork in that, you know, he can chop his feet, he can move, but you don't really see him with that real quickness and real explosiveness with his feet, like getting to that second level. I mean, he sets his feet quickly, he moves his feet and kind of keeps his balance and gets in position, but you don't really see the athleticism where he's, you know, getting out in that second level and those types of things. But, you know, I think obviously the size is there to work with. He's got some things that you just can't coach. So I did communicate with Jacoby Jackson this week about his Texas offer. Didn't have a list per se, but he said, hey, that, you know, that Texas offer really caught his attention. He was extremely happy. Said Texas is moving up his list, you know, towards the top of his list. I think Baylor is going to be a threat there. I think Oklahoma State's going to be a threat there. But I think Texas is in a pretty good spot there. Now, the question is, do they take him and Jack Lehrer if Jack Lehrer wants to come? I don't know. You know, it's a really deep offensive line class in the 2022 group. But that's what we said about this 2021 group. And look how that's happened for Texas. At some point, it's kind of like, hey, two in the hand is better than one in the bush. And the good news, I don't think Texas needs to make that decision right now. I think Jacoby Jackson's not in a huge rush. You know, I could see him deciding maybe in a month or so about the time his season starts up, but I don't think he's going to commit before Jack Lehrer. So Texas could maybe, potentially, knock on wood, for Texas's sake, hopefully, take Jack Lehrer if he wants to come, and then they can figure out if they still want to take Jacoby Jackson, if they still have the room, if they have the need, so they can cross that bridge, I think, down the road. So those are a couple offensive line notes. I'll tell you what, one other big offensive line note just kind of popped in my head. I mentioned Savion Byrd earlier in this podcast about him wanting to take his official visits before he decides or anything. Well, there was some news with Savion Byrd this week. He took one of these self-guided tours down to Baton Rouge with a bunch of other recruits, including quarterback commitment Garrett Nussmeier. I think Savion even rode with Garrett Nussmeier, if I'm not mistaken, or rode back with him. So big development there. Savion had never visited LSU. They were always at school. I thought would be a major factor if and when he could get on their campus. Well, that happened last weekend, and from the reports I've heard, LSU made a strong, strong move. I think that one continues to trend away from Texas. I think Oklahoma's ahead of Texas. I think maybe LSU might even be ahead of Texas at this point. So that one's looking less and less likely for the Longhorns. Texas has got to find a way. I don't know how you do it. Get him on campus with, you know, some of the young guys in the Duncanville program. They got some good 2022s. Get him down there to spend a weekend with Jaquindon Jackson. I don't know what you do if you're Texas, but they've got to find a way to reestablish some momentum with Savion Byrd if they want to have any kind of chance. Right now, it's not trending the right way for Texas. Similarly, another Texas target that was on the LSU campus last week was Terrence Brooks, the linebacker out of Pearland Shadow Creek. This is a guy that's been very high on UT's radar for a very, very long time. Really one of the priority targets for a good solid year. Well, he went down to Baton Rouge last weekend, same part of that group of recruits. Actually, it was last night. So Tuesday night, I talked to him. Pretty quick conversation. He was pretty busy, but we ran through all of it. He has six favorites on his list. He said, hey, that list is now seven because LSU offered him recently. And because LSU, he just got him on, the LSU recruits got him on campus. So LSU, it's squarely now a top seven. I think it's a top two. I think LSU has kind of vaulted its way into the discussion. I think it's going to be Texas or LSU. I think Baylor's a little bit of a sneaky pick there, but I don't know. I think Terrence Brooks or Cooks, Terrence Cooks, excuse me. I think he fancies himself in a bigger program than Baylor. All due respect to Baylor, fantastic program, but they're going through a coaching change. You know, who knows if they'll be able to keep up the level they did have under Matt Rule. I think he fancies himself as a more of a Texas or LSU type. I still favor Texas just because I haven't heard any differently, but I'm telling you, man, after talking to him last night, that LSU visit really, they only offered him about a month ago. That really made an impression. And when I asked him about LSU, I said, hey, what did guys like Garrett Nussmeier try to sell you on in regards to LSU in that visit? He goes, you know what? They really didn't. He goes, when it comes to LSU, man, you don't have to sell LSU. He goes, look at their player development. Look at how many guys they put in the NFL, including last year's record-setting draft. Look at their level of success. Just look at the athletes LSU has. He goes, they don't have to sell me. I know everything, I know of LSU's history. And I talk about Texas with him, with Terrence Cooks. He said, still has a really good relationship with the UT staff. He did say Austin just feels like home when he's visited there. You know, Texas has had such a commanding lead in this one for such a long time. I'm still inclined to favor Texas in this one, but, you know, this could be another one where Texas could really help their cause if they could somehow get him back in Austin. He did tell me, Terrence Cook said, hey, I want to go visit Baylor on one of these self-guided tours. When he does that, he said maybe he'll swing down through Austin again. So, you know, that could certainly help reestablish some momentum for Texas. He told me last night he wants to commit October 1, though. So we're talking, 3 weeks away? A little more than 3 weeks. So, you know, that's, is that actually 3 weeks from today? Heck, I don't even know. But, you know, we'll see if he sticks to that timeline. He's kind of moved that timeline back and up and back and forth. So, but he was pretty specific to me last night. He said he wanted to decide by October 1, gives him a little bit of chance to watch some football, watch the Texas defense under Chris Ash, watch Coleman Hutzler's linebackers. He wanted to watch Baylor under Dave Aranda. He wanted to watch LSU, you know, with their new defensive staff. So he thought by October 1, he'd have a good enough handle on what these defenses are looking like, what these programs look like, that he'd be able to make a decision. So a lot of movement going on there. Another guy that I talked to last week, I haven't updated on this podcast, was DeSoto defensive lineman Shamar Turner. This may have been 2 weeks ago when I had that conversation, because it's been 2 weeks since I recorded a podcast. But Shamar did come down to Austin for a quick visit. I talked to him afterwards. He was in town with his family. Said he toured the campus a little bit, hung out with some players. When he returned back home or wherever it was, he FaceTimed with pretty much the entire Texas defensive staff. Tom Herman was involved. None of that's a bad thing. All of that should help Texas's chances. But when I talk to Shamar, man, he's just really low-key. You know, he just says, hey, I've still got five schools I'm looking at, and they're all pretty even. He still wants to wait, take his five official visits if and when he can. Not looking to rush into a decision. Man, I think I've said it before. I think that one could ultimately come down to Texas and Texas A&M. I'm not sure Alabama's going to have the room for him. I just don't have a great feel on him, and I've had my you know, I've kind of predicted Texas for a long time. I think I've got my future cast pick, and I need to check that. But that's really one that I don't have a great feel on. I don't know anybody that truly does. I think Shamar's, you know, just plays it pretty close to the vest. But Texas getting him down to Austin again a few weeks ago certainly can't hurt, can only help. The bad news is he did say, hey, I want to now go to College Station, maybe try to hit some of these other places as well on his top five. But, you know, we'll see if those come to fruition. And the last note I have in my little scribble down notes here is we're still waiting on 2022 cornerback Jalen Gilbo from Port Arthur Memorial to possibly make a decision. It was interesting. Jalen released a top five last week, and Texas was not included. I don't even remember who was included, to be honest with you. Let's just put it this way. I wasn't taking that top five overly serious. I think it's very flexible, if you will. I think Texas will be a factor in that one when he decides. I think he could decide. I don't think he holds out too long. I don't think this thing goes on a month, 4 months, 6 months next year. I think Jalen Gilbo, the Port Arthur Memorial DB, decides fairly early. I still think Texas is going to be a major factor there. He's been so high on Texas for so long. You know, he's got a teammate committed to Texas. Texas didn't make his top five. He had some hand-wringing on the board, but I kind of tried to talk that down. I said, listen, my future cast has been on Texas. It's not changing. I still think Texas has a really good chance there, despite Texas not being in his public top five. So we'll keep an eye on that one, see if he makes a decision pretty soon. So we got a lot of potential movement coming up over the next month or something with a guy like Jalen Gilbo, Jack Lehrer, Terrence Brooks, if he does decide October 1. LJ Johnson's obviously a big one that could pop at any time. So I mean, we got a lot going on. And hey, we've actually got some football coming up this weekend. Again, I'm going to knock on wood. I don't have any wood, but some plastic here. Texas set to open their season against UTEP this weekend. I actually wrote my matchups piece earlier today. I'll have that posted on orangebloods.com tomorrow morning. As you would expect, Texas pretty much dominates the matchups across the board. This is a bad, bad UTEP team. They did get a win last week against Stephen F. Austin, but this is a game Texas should win in a cakewalk. But whatever, and just looking forward to seeing some actual football. Hoping for the best for all the players on both sides, and I hope everybody stays healthy. I hope for you listeners' sake, for my mental sake, I hope they're able to get the game in. You've seen a few games that have been canceled with TCU and SMU, with Baylor having to cancel and postpone games. I think Oklahoma State pushed the game back. So let's hope for the best when they test these student-athletes on Friday. Let's hope everything comes back okay and Texas gets to play on Saturday evening. So if that's the case, maybe we'll actually have a little bit of football to talk about next week in addition to, who knows, maybe some big recruiting news. So with that, I am going to sign off from the comfy confines of my vehicle here. I'm going to go watch my daughter do a little gymnastics. I'm going to work on my war room, and I will look forward to talking to y'all next week. This has been Something's Brewing, your Longhorn football recruiting podcast hosted by our friends at the Yak. I'm Jason Sukumel. I appreciate y'all giving me some of your time. I appreciate you giving it a listen. Hey, if you think of it, if you're into Twitter, give me a follow on Twitter, OB_JasonS. And you can always feel free to communicate with me directly via Twitter direct message as well. So appreciate your time, everybody. Have a great week. Have a safe week. Let's hopefully look forward to watching some Texas Longhorn football this weekend. Take care.